Good morning. There's lots going on in your lives. I know this. Lots going on in the life of our church, and we are thrilled and excited about this. We've been in a series, if you will, looking at through the book of Thessalonians. So Thessalonians, if you will, it's two letters we have in the Bible. You might have never heard of that, and that's okay. We encourage you to read them. They're important for us as a church. Their guidance, their wisdom, their insight, they are definitely direction from God for us, even in 2018. This thing called the Bible, it's got some really amazing things inside it. It really does. It has some things that can give us insight for today and how to live and how to love others, how to forgive, how to use our everyday life for His glory. And so it's important for us to not forget that there were churches before us, that part of our tradition, part of our story, part of our journey comes together, gathers around God's word, celebrates communion, and is never late. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. I would never do that to anyone that's a guest here, just so you know. That's only for family. That's only for family. They're like, so glad we're family. No, in all seriousness, the letter that we've been going through the last few weeks, and we'll be on through for the next few weeks as well, has just so much for us to really glean from. And so if you've never read it, it's in this thing called the New Testament. That's in the back of the Bible, and it's very important for us today. Today it's all about how to live. How shall we live now that we have come to know this Jesus? How shall we go in and out of our everyday life? What is God wanting to do in us and through us? And so we'll jump in, if you will, chapter 4. And it says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should go wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins as we told you and warned you before, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you His Holy Spirit. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hand just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. It's a long word. There's so much in here for us. We pray, Lord, that you would give us insight and wisdom, and that you would help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see, that we would see that there's so much more going on that you're doing than maybe we've seen before, maybe we've even been able to see before. But you've given us this time, this moment, so we may learn and grow. And we pray, Lord, that we may do that well. Pray this in the mighty, glorious, saving, and rescuing name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Been talking, if you will, about how this whole letter is about an imitation. Now, imitation sometimes gets a bad rap. We're not talking imitation as in, like, we're talking knockoffs. We're talking imitation as in modeling the way. That the writers, Paul and his team, have said, listen, we lived with you. We modeled the way. Please do what we did. And do it even better. Keep working at it. Keep working at trying to learn to love one another, forgive one another as a church family. And then he goes on to say here again about how he's called us to love and to live. Talked a little bit also about how the church is not just this place. In fact, it's only a place when we all go there. The church is a gathered community for God and His purposes. It's not a denomination. We're going to celebrate here the Lord's Supper, and we're going to do it in a way we pray that glorifies God, honors Him. But it's not All Villages table. It's not Eco's table, our denomination. It's the Lord's table. It's about us being the family of God. And I've been asking you this question over and over again. What is your frontline ministry? In essence, where has God placed you? And how does He want to work through you? In short, for those of you that are more mathematically minded, I will not mention Dr. Hill because she doesn't want me to do that. She's not. But for 168 hours per week, you like how I mentioned it by not mentioning it? Anyways, 168 hours per week. That's how much every person in this room has. And yet, what are we doing with it? Now, this isn't a guilt thing. This is one of those of how are we taking our everyday lives and letting God work through them? How can we pay attention to what He wants to do in us and through us? What would it look like if we really paid attention, if we really were open, if we really prayed for those that He put us with? Whether we're volunteering down at Sarah's kitchen or we're on the golf course, where has God placed us and how does He want to use us? And so if we work down 48 hours for sleep, and I know that's not a lot, but just say we had that, 10 hours for church life, for devotions, for coming to services, for going to Bible study, serving in a ministry, you have 110 left. How have we as a church helped prepare you, equipped you, trained you, so that you can be God's hands and feet where you are? And so these are important questions for the rest of our lives. Well, this question, if you will, the letter helps us deal with it by asking us, if you will, to consider how we live. The word actually, when he says it here, as for other matters, is like he's been talking about a lot of things, but he's like, let's talk about how you live, right? He says, we've instructed you how to live in order to please God. How to live. It's something we learn. Because apparently the way we were wasn't doing it. Definitely not intentionally. Every now and again, a broken clock's right. There were some things we did okay. Absolutely. And yet there are things that God wants to do in us consistently, day in, day out. What would it look like if we learned how to live? And again, the word that he uses actually is more how to walk. Now, before service started, I have the joy and the privilege of a little Palmer Christian, our choir director's little baby boy, comes in and they hang in there till I come in here, and then they have their nice bonding feeding time. Anyways, so here they are doing their thing, but before they do that, I'm getting ready to walk out and stuff, and she's like, hey, I need to get something. Do you mind hanging out with them? Man, I was having a great time. That's why I came up here a couple minutes late. But anyways, having a good time with them, and I'm like having them walk and stuff like that, and just doing it, and you know, he's not walking, just that's me, okay? But how precious. How many times did we fall? We don't remember. Our parents didn't yell at us because we fell. Our parents, hey, good try, let's keep it going, let's try again. Didn't get mad at because I told you to start walking. No, it doesn't work that way. And God, and through his writers with Paul and them, are not trying to tell us things like, rah, rah. They're trying to encourage our heart. They're trying to help us to learn how to live, how to walk with him. It's a process and it's a practice, day in, day out. Yesterday, we had a great, again, turnout for unloading pumpkins. We had a ton, if you will, of Eagles, a.k.a. Centennial High School, from multiple teams and students. We had Treasure Coast High School here. We had several schools. We had our Cub Scout pack out here, and they were they were unloading. They were doing a great, great job. Now, it was one of the smoothest run unloadings I've ever seen. It just, boom. So much so that I was talking to one of the sisters, I'm not going to say which one, I was talking to one of the sisters, and they were like, yeah, I think she should not be here again, because it worked really, really, and I'm just like, but no, it's one of those where they got it down. They practiced, they worked at it, and it's smooth. And so it was one of the, I'm like, you guys got it. That's, let's keep it rolling now. You know, it's one of those where we have to learn. We have to practice. There are times that I'm sure Dorothy will pull up something for the choir and it just crashes. I know it's hard to believe because they're awesome, but it just crashes. And so they work on it. And guess what? They keep working on it. There's going to be those moments in our lives we have to just say, Lord, I need your help. I'm not getting this. Maybe our prayer needs to be, Lord, help me to want this. Maybe we haven't felt that desire to pray or to read God's word in too long. Maybe it's not about feeling bad, but saying, Lord, help me. Help me. There's also this moment where, if you will, he talks about holiness. Now again, this is not necessarily the fun time, if you will. We like, ooh, I didn't like that verse. And yet, like, what does it mean? He says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Now sanctified, that's a nice religious word. Sanctified means set apart wholly for him, that you are dedicated for the Lord, that you took your will and said, not my will, but your will, Lord. You've surrendered all, and he is making you and shaping you and training you up to be more like him so that when others see you, they see him. You reflect his light, his love. If you have any family, or if you know any children, if you will, of parents, and they just seem to be like little mini-me's. C.S. Lewis, Oxford professor, writer of a few books, one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century, Clive Staples. Again, there's a reason he went by C.S. Clive Staples Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia and things like that, he ended up saying, if you will, that we're like little Jesuses. That we are little reflections of who God is in the world. That where he has you, it's on purpose. It's not by accident. That we do not have to be afraid, that we can actually lean into it. And he will work. Now then he says, that, so we want you to be like this. You should avoid sexual immorality. That seems like where did, man, he's going to the hard stuff right away, right? That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. That there's this connection, apparently, to our sexuality and our spirituality. The church has been really good about just ignoring this. This might be the first time you heard it in a message, and I apologize. That's our fault as a church. But the reality is God cares about every area of our lives. And how are we living and honoring and pleasing God, from earlier in the verse, in this part of our life? That doesn't mean we're not tempted. That doesn't mean we don't have challenges. It doesn't mean we don't have questions or concerns. No, all that's welcomed. And he says, I love you completely. I'm trying to help you learn how to walk. Maybe this is where you stumble. Guess what? He's going to help you up. He wants to train us up so that we may be holy and honorable. Now again, there's a word, holiness. Holiness is such a bigger word than what we tend to think of it. We think it's, again, that religious word. It's just those super Christians, those people that wear robes, okay, and have stoles. No, holiness is, if you said yes to Jesus, he says, I am yours and you are mine. We are one. Interesting how in the area of Thessalonica, that this, where the church was, the Thessalonians, that this was a very common, very similar to us today. That there's, it's suggested, but it's really not a big deal. Very similar context to ours. Holiness, let me put it a different way, if you will, does not involve withdrawing from the world the world of work so much as, if you will, participating in the world in a new and different way with the Lord. See, it's the way we live. It's the way we love. It's the way we walk. How are we walking in a way that honors him? And so it's not about maybe necessarily stopping things. It's about, Lord, help me to realize you're all in these things. What would that look like? What would it look like if we were accountable? That is a word that's really not popular, but yet so essential. Do you have a spiritual best friend that you could go to and say, I'm struggling with fill in the blank? Could be trusting the Lord. Could be sexual immorality. Could be fill in your blank again, whatever it may be. Do you have someone that you could share that with that wouldn't look down on you, but that would come alongside you and say, hey, we're learning to walk. Let's get up. Pray for you. Encourage you. Let you know you're not in this alone. We need that. Interesting how Jesus gave us a practice known as, we say, Lord's Supper, communion, that we participate in so we can share in the sufferings of Jesus, that we can share together what brokenness looks like, loss, and we can also share in the fact that he said, I am with you always. No matter what, I'm with you, right here, right now. We're very tactile people. You might have noticed there's some things in the hallways when you walk, and even in the back of our sanctuary here, where the children of our preschool do their decorations. They're very awesome. They do a great job, and I'm thoroughly impressed a lot of times. I'm like, how did you do that? Like, that's creative. But in that, there's so much they learn by touching and grabbing and smelling and tasting. And you're like, stop, don't eat that. But the challenge for all of us is understand that we're still tactile. We still like to touch things. We still like to feel things. And there's something about that experience God gives us, his grace. Tangible expression. I move on. In verses 9 and 10, he gives really, really practical. He says, now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you. They are writing it, right? Because for yourselves, you have been taught by God to love each other. In other words, it's not just from us. God himself has taught you to love one another. And you need to keep doing it. And in fact, you do love. He celebrates it with them. That it's not about them trying to have it all together. It's not about them trying to make sense of everything. But it's about being practical. That their love is in the real world. It's not about separating again from the world. It's not about being away from all those people. It's about fully embracing where God has you and loving them. You own a business? Guess what? Your 110 has got to be your employees and got to be the people you serve at your business. You volunteer again somewhere. Maybe it's once a week. Maybe your volunteer is picking up again your grandkids. That's your 110. Where has God placed you? Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Guess what? That's your 110. How and where has God placed you so that you can serve his purposes? Now, remember this and be encouraged by this. It's not about doing more. It's not about doing more. It's about trusting more. It's about being open. Lord, this is where you have me. Help me to be a reflection. Lord, help me to trust you. Lord, would you help put that person's name in there? Where has God put you? How can you be open to that and know that he is working? Now we have this quiet. Now quiet, what's that about? It's this quiet life, as it says in there. What would it look like if serving God and others and in your business and community, and you just let your actions do most of the talking? That your example is what will get people to lean in and start asking questions. Now, this is important. And we're going to talk a lot more about this tonight if you come to the study. But how can we learn to pay attention to the Lord's leading? That maybe we've been leading our example, leading by example, leading by example, leading by example, and then they lean in and say, hey, tell me about, and it's your moment to, well, it's because of this Jesus that I've met, the Jesus that I came to know and fall in love with, and I found his love is so much greater than I ever knew. It's bigger than a Sunday service. It's bigger than anything I've been about until I came to know him. Changed everything. Now, for most people, they don't know what to do with that, and that's okay. Realize, it's like they're learning how to walk. Maybe they're kind of just sitting on their booty. Maybe they're just in that stage of development. And maybe these conversations are going to start getting them to try to walk. And they're going to learn to lean in and know of his grace and his goodness. So I leave you with a couple if you will, questions. How are you loving God and loving your neighbor? Sounds real basic, and it is, if you will, and the basic question of it, because every follower of Jesus should be, that's our two main questions every day. Lord, how did I love you today? How did I love others today? And yet, that's what this whole letter is about. How are we loving others? How are we loving him? And the second question is, how are you seeking to please God in your everyday? What would it look like if tomorrow morning, before you take your feet out of bed, and you say, Lord, help me to please you today. Maybe you have an appointment with someone to have, you know, coffee or lunch or a business meeting or something. Just, Lord, would you be over that and give me wisdom and help me to please you in that meeting? What if we were just trying to please the Lord? What if we were just trying to bring a smile to his face and not worry about accomplishing anything? That's a different kind of question, isn't it? And for many, not all, but for many men, I'm not saying not all ladies, but for many men, we're task-driven. We want to accomplish. We want to sign a dotted line. Let's get this in. What's it going to take to get you to? It's not about that. It's about us surrendering. So, Lord, what are you going to do? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your grace. You are good. And you are loving, and we surrender all. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us and help us. Help us surrender into being what you have called us to be, holy and loving. Help us with our brokenness. Help us where we stumble, where we don't know how to walk, where we don't know how to live in a way that glorifies you. So, Lord, give us wisdom, give us insight again, and give us your grace and strength. Now, Lord, we ask that you would help us focus on your grace and your amazing goodness as we prepare for communion, as we proclaim what we believe, as we pray the prayer. We give you thanks in your name. Amen.